May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Amen. I love Christmas. Anybody who knows me knows I love Christmas. The sights and the carols and all the festive joy. I mean, isn't this a beautiful church? I just love it. But most of all, the story. I love the story. The story heard all around the world tonight, the story of our faith. Now, my favorite moments are when children tell the story of our faith, usually in the form of the annual Christmas pageant. They're always good at putting a new spin on a familiar story, right? Like the time when one of the wise men in one church's pageant proudly proclaimed that they were bringing gold, common sense, and fur to the baby Jesus. Now, actually, truth be told, I think that's probably better and more practical gifts than what they actually did give. Or the time a church decided to use a real camel, and the poor thing got frightened and took out half the pews that was trying to escape. And perhaps my favorite, when a child playing Joseph was trying to explain to the census taker, really? A census taker role? How big of a church was this? Anyway, he's trying to explain to the census taker just exactly who whose child his wife Mary was carrying. That, yes, he was the father, but not the real father, or in today's parlance, Jesus had two daddies. Anyway, he was getting frustrated, and finally, in exasperation, the boy explains, "It's complicated. It's complicated." Well, maybe it's complicated because we have made it that way. The baby Jesus ends up wrapped not in bands of cloth, but in dogma and doctrine, theology and tradition, or shopping till you drop insanity. But it doesn't have to be this way. In fact, it was never meant to be this way. Because the story we tell tonight, the greatest story ever told, isn't complicated at all if we remember it. Maybe that's why we need to hear it year after year. But that begs the question then, a question we all sang in one of those favorite hymns earlier tonight, "Angels We Have Heard on High." What glad tidings did you hear? What glad tidings did you see? Or put another way, what story do you hear in the gospel tonight, proclaimed by the angels and told through the centuries? You know, when we gather here on Christmas Eve, we do hear about Mary, Joseph, a donkey, and shepherds at the birth of a baby named Jesus as angels proclaim glory to God. Of course we do. But that's as much the full story as saying that this star of Bethlehem hanging high in this church tonight is the star of Bethlehem, the actual star. Nativity scenes, pageants, even this narrative from the Gospel of Luke help us to remember the birth of Jesus, but what is really happening in the birth is something much bigger than all of that. And it's something we sometimes lose sight of in the hustle and bustle at this time of year. And by lost, I mean figuratively and physically. Now, there's a story I saw on the internet. Now, I can't vouch for its authenticity, but hey, you know, if it's on the internet, it must be true, right? No. Anyway, it claims that a woman was out Christmas shopping with her two children, and after many hours of looking at row and row of toys and everything else imaginable, and after hours of hearing both children asking for everything they saw on those many shelves, she finally made it to the elevator. She was going to escape. No, she finally made it there with her two kids, and she was feeling what so many of us feel at this time of year. Overwhelming pressure to go to every party, every family gathering, taste all the holiday food and treats, and get that perfect gift for every single person on our shopping list. Make sure we don't forget anyone on our card list and respond to everybody who gave us a card. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody. Now she's standing there, finally the elevator doors open, and there's already a crowd in the car, but she must have been from New York. New Jersey, she just pushed her way onto that car and dragged her two kids in with her and all the bags of stuff. And she's standing there, and when the doors closed, she just couldn't take it anymore, and she said, "Whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be found, strung up, and shot." And from the back of the car, everyone heard a quiet, calm voice respond, "Don't worry, we already crucified him." For the rest of the trip down the elevator, it was so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. Now in the world today, amid the insanity of our lives, of the world, and what has become of Christmas, we can have the story stolen from our hearts and sometimes quite literally from our nativity scenes. Now there was a couple of years ago a rash of nativity thefts of the baby Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about like when my cat decides to abscond with the baby Jesus out of my nativity. This was actually pranksters who were making off with the baby Jesus from outdoor nativity scenes. So often that a company came out with, I kid you not, a Jesus GPS. A tracking device to put inside the baby Jesus so he could be found. Now, I don't want to know how they got it in the baby Jesus, but you don't want to get a visual. But think of it like a Jesus LoJack, right? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's seriously. Now, maybe we need to take a step back and think about what the heck we're all celebrating here tonight. And it starts as we hear in Isaiah. In a world where people are in darkness. It continues in Luke with the enrollment of people by the emperor into lists or a census, which pushes an unwed mother and her fiancé to travel far away from their home, only to find no welcome place for her to give birth, except with the animals. And then later in the story, the ones who are lowest in society, the shepherds, being the very first to receive the good news. Directly from God's messengers, that Jesus was born, that God was with them. It's the story of our Savior's birth, of the incarnation of God dwelling among us. It's a very simple story, if we don't make it all complicated. And in its simplicity is the very meaning of it all. And it's a story that is still happening all over the world, every day, even tonight. Today, we're living in a world that seems darker, especially after 2016, which for many has been a difficult year. Today, Syria is in the news, as Syria is part of this story too. Remember that little part about when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And it isn't the once beautiful place it was then. And today, there are calls from people in power for registry of Muslims, for lists of people working on climate change or gender equality, for keeping out foreigners, for not providing for the needs of pregnant women or unconventional families. See, today, the story could be told in this way. It's a time in the near future, and Maria and her brother Jose, both undocumented residents, leave the safety of their home to flee from a call to root out all illegals and to protect Jose's husband, Rashid, from the new Muslim registration law. They're on the run, but the traveling is difficult because Maria is 9 months pregnant with Jose and Rashid's child because she said yes to being a surrogate mother that they might have this new life born into their lives. It's been a difficult pregnancy, not having funds for adequate prenatal care or any insurance or access to Planned Parenthood centers being difficult with so many closing due to a lack of funds. And while on the run, it came time for her to have the baby. And not finding any safe place that would welcome them, they found an old barn and an abandoned farm in the rural part of the state. And there she gave birth. While things seemed so very dark and bleak in the world and in their lives, that first cry of the baby girl warmed their hearts and brought light and life into their world. She changed everything. They named her Salome, which means peace in Hebrew and Arabic, and placed her in a feeding trough lined with hay. And just as they thought this little miracle was theirs alone, a knock came on the door. It was a local migrant workers who had been going from farm to farm looking for work when they were greeted by a messenger that told them to come to this place, and there they would find this baby. And their lives would be changed. And Maria, Jose, and Rashid pondered all this in their heart. Now, if this seems far from what we understand about the birth of Jesus, think again. There's a Facebook meme, a A meme, if you're not a Facebook addict like me, is just a picture with a bunch of words on it. And there's a Facebook meme which shows a nativity scene, but no people. And the words above the sable say, a nativity without Jews, Arabs, or refugees. So this is indeed exactly like the birth of Jesus. The story of Christmas is the story of God wanting so much to reach us and being willing to be born into us in a small child of humble means. God, pained by the darkness of the world, a darkness we had created ourselves, sought to send us a message. Not of anger or of judgment or of anything of the sort. No, God just wanted us to know that we are loved, deeply loved beyond all comprehension. So God came to us in this way, into the lives of people like Joseph and Mary, people of humble means, not riches, living at a time of darkness and fear. And God entered into the lives of the marginalized and the poor, like the shepherds who were the first to receive the good news. And today, God is coming to us now, in the Marias and the Joses and Rashids of the world, other people of humble means, not riches, also living in a time of darkness and fear, here, right here, in our own country, and also all around the world. God is being born into the lives of those who are closest to her heart, the marginalized and the poor, the migrant workers, Muslims, gays, immigrants, and Jews. And God is looking to be born someplace else too. You see, God could see then and now that we are a people walking in darkness of the world and perhaps of our lives, a people sometimes bewildered and exhausted by the world around us, a people that can sometimes feel lost, anxious, angry, and fearful for the future in a world that seeks to oppress, hate, and to divide, a people who suffer the very real trials of being a human, worrying about debt, feeling isolated or alone, or grieving those we love who are no longer with us, but with God. And in these darkest of times, perhaps the most important part of the story for us to hear is the angel's message to the shepherds. Now, since it's Christmas Eve, let's hear the King James Version Linus uses in that perennial favorite, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Come on, you all watch that, right? Charlie Brown Christmas? The best, absolutely. Did you know, by the way, that this next part, they told Charles Schulz to cut it? Nobody wanted to hear that? Too religious? Yeah. Anyway, Charlie Brown wants to know what Christmas is all about. And Linus says he can tell him. And then he tells the story, not of Mary and Joseph. Did you ever notice that? But of the shepherds. And he says, after saying, lights please, and there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day. You see, Mary was a surrogate, like Maria in my modern version, who gives birth to God's light and love, which was born not just to her and Joseph, to everyone, for everyone. The story is about you, and you, and you, and all y'all. It's about you. The tidings were for the shepherds, the joy too, but not just for them, for all the people, for the whole world, for you. And here's the thing. This story is happening now, or at least God is looking for us to allow it to happen. The German theologian Meister Eckhart once said, we are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me, if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his Son if I do not also give birth to him in my time and my culture? This then is the fullness of time, when the Son of Man is begotten in us. We're all meant to be mothers of God, because God is always needing and wanting to be born, born into the darkness of our lives to bring light, born into the death of our spirit to bring hope, born into the despair of our hearts to bring love. You know, it's a crazy thing to think about it, isn't it? But the truth of Christmas is that God chooses the most unlikely places to enter into our lives, the poor, the marginalized, the humble, the weak, and the forgotten, to make sure we truly understand that God's love is for everyone, no exceptions, and even each one of us. If we open our hearts to see the divine spark of God in them, the Marias, Hoseas, Rashids, and Salomes of our lives, then God will be born in us too. And it is in each of us that God yearns to be born, not only for ourselves, but that our lives might be the good news of great joy to a people living in the cold, dark fields of our world. Because this good news of great joy is truly for all people, and was never meant to stay in the manger, the barn, or for that matter, the church. You see, Jesus doesn't need a GPS tracking device to be found, because Jesus was never meant to be kept in the manger in the first place. Jesus is on the loose. He was then in the hearts of the shepherds, and he is today in our hearts if we let him be born in us tonight. We are all meant to be mothers of God, because God is always needing to be born, now more than ever. This story, this wonderful story of Christmas we tell each year, is to remind us that God never forgets us, will always look to be born in us, and will seek us out in the dark fields of our life to bring us the good news that we are loved deeply, unequivocally, and always. And that, my dear friends, is truly tidings of great joy for all people. Merry Christmas.